start.
Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yes, it's Friday. It's the weekend starts here. We've done the Max Show and now we're doing The Big Show. It's great. I've got a fantastic panel. Really, really, truly fantastic. Starting us off, top left, Camps. How are you doing, bud?
Good. Yeah, really good. Glad to be about 2 weeks. 2 weeks back in the running after the summer hiatus. Good to be back into the swing of it.
Yeah, we had no choice, mate. That's the trouble. It's just like we had a couple of guest meltdowns, and then it was just a case of work kicked in a little bit, and it all got horrible. But we're back now. We're back with a vengeance, and we've got some. I've got a really exciting thing to start with, actually. So I'm going to say that in a minute. Are you well? Did your trip to London go well?
Yeah, just to be honest, get on a train, get off a train, spend a day in a meeting room, get on a train, get off a train. It's just one of the trains were on time. It was no 7 hour journey home for a change this time. That was nice.
My favourite trips to London are your filming at Evershot House, because it's like that is part of Euston's complex. So I go into Euston, I walk out, I walk in the building, I film, I walk out, I walk into the train, I come home. Superb days.
Yeah, the commute's not bad from Leeds, although I got it right this time. Last time I drove to Wakefield, not too far from Leeds, parked the car there, just because I had some bits, I had somebody to meet and things like that. Jumped on the train to London. On the way back, I forgot to get off at Wakefield. Carried on, got off at Leeds, and then realised that's not where my car was. Had to go back. Thankfully, didn't do that today.
Stella, well done, mate. Yeah. Superb. Next to him, it's Howard. How are you doing, missus? You're on mute as well.
See what happens? It's been ages and I just don't remember anything.
Yeah, changed positions, thrown you completely. What you been up to then, mate?
Not much, just relaxing, enjoying the summer.
Good. How's Auntie Pamela?
She's fine. She was around, but I wasn't around, so we missed each other, but yeah.
Right. You must send her our love.
I will do.
She can dial in from Nigeria, can't she?
Yeah, she'll probably have a better connection than I would.
No, I know. I remember talking to...
As long as it's not raining. If it's raining, then forget it.
I remember listening to one of the Max shows on Twitter, and... what's his name? The guy that does the... He's got this video production firm that shares the building. Alex Lindsay. And Alex Lindsay was out with his wife in Rwanda, and they were talking about infrastructure in Rwanda, and Leo asked him what it was like there, and he says, I got 50 megabits up and 50 megabits down. I'm going back 10 years probably. So it's like, the infrastructure there is really good. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. If she has a better connection than us.
Yes. No, way better.
Good to have you back, girl. I haven't seen you in ages.
Thank you.
Ages and ages and ages.
Be back.
Brilliant. Benito, we haven't seen him for ages. Bahat.
Well, hello there.
And we're eagerly anticipating your Tesco shopping arriving during the show and having a live unboxing, aren't we?
Well, there's a 50-50 chance. It depends on how punctual Tesco's are.
Well, it depends how much we crap on and talk rubbish. So,
that is also true.
We might run into them more than them running into us, mate.
Well, they have a habit of sometimes just randomly being early, which is also a little bit inconvenient sometimes.
Don't worry about it, mate. It's fine. We put it with worse. we have Muller most weeks. I mean, he's not here this week. He had to go to a funeral this afternoon, so we haven't got him around. Which is so the inane commentary in the room is not, the chat room's not gone on. So hope he's back soon. And last but by no means least, joining us for the second time today, Patrice, all packed up and ready to come home to Europe.
Yes.
You know we want you back here, don't you, right? I know you love being in Phoenix and all that, and you've got your wife out there in Phoenix, but you know we want you back in Europe, buddy.
Well, you might want me there, but I really don't.
I'm being purely selfish.
I'm excited about Austria, though. Like, it's a place I haven't really... explored and been to, so
apparently the hills are alive.
Oh goodness. Don't trash Sound of Music.
I'm not trashing it. What a quality thing. Yeah, I mean, it's Christopher Plummer in it. Good films with Christopher Plummer, mate. Definitely into them. Before we start, we've at the behest of TSO hosts, they were really impressed with Wrighty's retro reviews. Paul Wright used to do retro reviews for us, where he'd go back in time and review, as though it was for the first time, a game from the 80s and 90s. And he's posted one, inspired by the request from TSO host. We have Duke Nukem 3D first time review. There you go. So just imagine, right, that you've never seen Duke Nukem 3D before. Go and read that, and you'll get a review of what it's like if you feel like buying it. There you go. That's a retro review. And Wrighty does Wrighty's retro reviews. And he's done, he's done 10 today, I think. To say he's fired up is an understatement.
Wow.
So I don't know whether we're hosting them on our blog and then they're just retweeting them, or whether we're actually going to host them on TSO's blog. But we're going to do some blog posts and reviews for TSO, and they're going to push those out. And I've got to say, we've got a really good relationship with them starting at the moment. I had a call with them during the week, and we're going to do loads of giveaways. We're going to cover a lot of the services that they want to provide. And also, they're giving us loads of support on Twitter, tweeting out when the shows are on and that kind of stuff on Friday mornings. So it's really important that you guys give us their recognition on social media. And thanks at TO Host for supporting at British Tech. It is a massive undertaking, what's going to go on in the next few weeks. We've got loads and loads happening with them. So watch this space. It's going to be really cool. Right then. It's time to do the shows, the stories, the week in tech. Who's going to start us off? Who's got the fastest fingers in the West? It's always Campion. It's always bloody Campion. And he's like, but the thing is, right, you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, it's okay. We can do Command Z. He's on an iPhone and an iPad. How are you that fast on an iPhone and iPad, mate?
I've had it ready. I've had the paste button ready just to press return for about 10 minutes.
I was just about to say, full start. That's how you... The gun's not gone off and you're ready with it. So
I'm ready. I'm ready, right. Only because I've only got one story prepped.
it's a fight over a crap week in tech. Every single piece of hardware Amazon announced today. Oh, that's killed everyone's. Anyone else got that? No?
No.
Wait. To be honest, no.
Oh, that's good. Good. Excellent.
Good.
Right then.
Yes, Wednesday, Amazon had an event. They basically just come out with a ton of different products that I thought probably worth it. Am I still on? I think all my feeds have just frozen.
No, we got you.
You got me. They've thrown out a ton of different products. I just thought it's worth a quick whip through. See if we think the hits, misses, would we buy, wouldn't we buy, sort of thing. So let's start off with something we already know. They've updated the Echo Dot. This looks like it's very much leading down almost like a bedside type device now, the Echo Dot being integrated with a bit of a clock, almost like a small lamp. Quite a nice looking little device.
Showing through the mesh.
That's really nice, actually.
That is nice.
It's good. It's a good looking little thing. I could imagine. I mean, I've got a dot in the bedroom. I could imagine that bedside, definitely.
That's just, you know, you've been married too long, and then that's the best thing you can imagine in your bedroom is an Echo Dot.
No, let's not go down there.
I've got an Echo Dot, but I tell you what would make it even better, an Echo Dot with the time on it.
Yeah. as long as it's not an Echo Show with a screen and a camera.
Oh, no. Well, at least you've got a piece of tape.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a thing, don't you?
I'm not seeing that there's an awful lot of difference between this and the other dot other than the clock on the front. As far as I can see, you can tap to snooze. Other than that, it does all the rest of the functionality that you've got with the normal Echo Dot. Still, $60 starting price. I think it's a good price. It's a nice looking device, and I think that'll sell well.
The quality of the speaker went up quite markedly, didn't it, on the last one? Because I know the dots before, we've got them at home and they're okay, but they are a little bit tinny.
Yeah,
and these weren't.
Yeah. It for me, can't really tell here, but I'm hoping that's just a touch bigger as well. It doesn't look round to me.
Yeah, it looks round.
Like it. Do you think it's round then?
Yeah, I think it's round, and it's got right. It might have a rounded square, if you know.
Yeah, like a slight pill shape almost.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking.
Yeah, it could be.
So that's good. That's device number one.
That's an impressive start.
Yeah, device number two, the Echo. So, again, I don't see that this is, other than some new speaker drivers in there, new 3-inch subwoofer, it's got some better volume and better bass. They've just updated an existing product, which, let's be honest, the Echo is a pretty good product already, retailing $100.
Now, I'm going to chuck this out there, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I reckon they've probably done something with Sonos to improve the speaker matrix and stuff in there.
Let's just wait a minute for that, shall we, Ewan?
All right, because I was going to say that they had the integration, didn't they, with the Zigbee and stuff like that with Sonos and that. So I think there might be some cross fertilization of knowledge.
So before we go down that route, let's just move on to the next one, the Echo Studio, which is one of the bigger, one of the bigger reveals.
That's
Echo Studio.
That has got to be the crappiest picture to show off the Echo Studio, because they've cut it off and it just looks like a woman. The Echo Studio, you don't actually buy a box that plays music. You actually buy a woman in a blue flowered shirt.
And a full sideboard, several books. And I tell you what, let's just tuck our little
That's good value, mate.
Right in the corner of the image that you can't see.
What makes the studio a studio for us non- Echo efficient.
Yeah, so the studio, basically, it looks like that this is to take on the likes of the Sonos One, the Apple HomePod. It's got a 5.25-inch bass driver in there, better bass support. It's meant to be able to calibrate to your room to provide a better overall 3D audio experience.
That's pretty old technology, though, isn't it?
It is. I think it's they're just updating the quality of the speakers in the Echo to try and at $200. I think it's certainly better priced than the HomePod, but it won't have the capability of the HomePod.
Well, it's going to have the capability of all of the Echoes, isn't it? So, I mean, your Echo will link with your Apple Music. So,
yeah.
That's
it'll link with your Apple Music, just probably not the rest of your Apple ecosystem.
Do they AirPlay the Echoes?
They don't do AirPlay. No, they do Bluetooth.
Better than nothing, but AirPlay will be a lot more convenient.
Yeah. It also has the ability to connect to the 4K Fire TV devices that have come out. That they came out not that long ago, the Apple TV equivalent device.
So if it supports Dolby Atmos as well, that means you can link it to your telly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this could be your left and right channel with a sound.
Yeah, yeah. Your surround sound. Yeah. And at $200, I don't think that's a bad price point actually, if the quality of the speaker's good.
Well, it's got to be a lot better than it, because the thing is, you're only paying $100 for an Echo, aren't you? So, and the quality of the speaker on that is excellent. So it's got to be it's got to be $100 more than the Echo, because every other bit of functionality is already in there. So,
yeah, I'd love to be able to go to some sort of like small speaker lab type setups that you can listen to these side by side.
Yeah,
places like John Lewis might have that sort of thing set up that you can go in and have a little listen. They also updated a new version of the Echo Show. So the Echo Show 5 came out. Similar sort of speaker, desktop, small tablet. I think it's a 8-inch HD screen on this one, with the camera on there, and that's very much the desktop small video to video type device with the rest of your Alexa functionality built in. They're also releasing a free time feature with that, which is a series of basically kid friendly videos and TV shows free to air. So I can see that being maybe a bit of a kitchen talk, tabletop in the kitchen type device where you can do various things on there, plus wang some cartoons on for the kids while they're sat eating the breakfast bar type device. I could see.
I gotta say, Gizmodo's website is the worst laid out piece of web I've ever seen. What on earth? The columns, Jesus. Anyway, moving on.
Feel free if anybody wants to jump in and have a chat about any of these.
Well, we'll come back to it. Just run through the shopping list. The generation cuddly toy fondue set.
The next one's one of the ones I quite liked. The Echo Glow. My daughter has a small LED nightlight in a bedroom. I think that were about 50 quid when we got it, something like that. This is the Echo Glow. It's a kid-friendly product. It's got a light show on there. It can make it flicker, campfire-type setting, sleep timer. It's not obvious that this has got the rest of the Alexa functionality built in, but I'd be surprised if it hasn't, I think. $30 for this one. I quite like it for the nightlight. Having two young kids who both have nightlights in the room, I could, you know, switch the light off at a certain time, switch it on in terms of sort of like mood lighting and stuff like that in the morning. I think that could work well. And so it's really cheap.
That's going to give you the ability to go, "Hey, lady, switch the light off downstairs," but you're not going to get any music or anything out of that. There's no speaker in it.
Exactly. There's no speaker in it there.
But okay.
Cheap device and probably comparable with things like the LED lights.
Say again, Bart.
So how does she talk back to you? Or does she not?
She might go green. No, I'm serious. That might the feedback might be a colour change.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have a spy device in your bedroom, at least make it useful.
I think this is firmly aimed at the kids market. I don't think there's any spying going on with this one.
Bart, are you sure you've ordered enough tinfoil in that Sainsbury's order that you got coming?
No, I'm sorry. It's not about tinfoil. You know it's sending the stuff to Google. You can log into the website and listen back to it all. There's no conspiracy theory here. We know what it's doing. It's just a matter of whether you care. And some people do and some people don't. It's and not do tinfoil you, hat. It's just...
Do you care?
Yeah, there's not a chance of one of these coming into my house. Not a chance.
Okay, fair enough. Carry on then, Camps.
Okay, next one, Ring, the stick-up cam. So Amazon bought Ring, I think it's about 18 months ago now. This is the first stick-up cam that they've announced new whilst under Amazon's ownership as an indoor-outdoor device. Can run on solar power, can be plugged in, can go on battery, pre-order for £100. Works the rest of the Ring, works the same way as the rest of the Ring products, but an internal cam.
Right. Internal actually, in your house.
Sorry, that's the stick-up cam. That's an indoor-outdoor. The next one is specifically an indoor cam.
Is this the Ringoscopy for internal use?
Yeah.
Oof.
Someone's at your back door. Really? Sorry.
Someone's banging on your back door. So, yeah, you got the stick-up cam, which is the indoor-outdoor, or you've got the Ring indoor cam. That's a specific indoor-only camera. Budget friendly, $60 starting.
Right.
The Amazon Smart Oven, basically a microwave, convection oven, fryer, warmer hybrid, Alexa enabled, $250. A microwave on steroids, as Gizmodo described this one.
Hey lady, cook my chicken. And then she goes, "Yeah, but you need to put it in me first."
I'm not convinced by the smart ovens, but we'll get to that one. Next one's an interesting one.
Oh, we're not spending longer taking the piss out of the smart oven, sorry.
Oh, well, no, it's gone. Let's carry on.
All right, go on then.
The next one is the list was this long.
Oh, right. Okay.
So these are what would look like from distance conventional pair of spectacle frames. Can have prescription lenses in them. It's not a heads-up display. It doesn't have a camera, but it does have the A-Lady built into the arms of the glasses. And the idea being, you can speak to the A-Lady, and you've got her wherever you want to go.
Have you got a SIM chip in there?
Literally.
Does she pair with your phone? And because you'd have to pair with your phone, and then your phone could trigger. Oh, right, okay. That's not bad, actually.
Is it bone conduction that she can talk to you, or is it just...
I don't think it is bone conduction, no.
That would have been cool. I'm with you there, Bart. That would have been real cool.
Yeah, because
from what I've read on these, no, I don't think they are bone conduction.
But is there speakers in them at all, or is it tied? Is it purely through the phone that you'd hear her back?
No, I believe there's some small speakers on these.
You get a small electrical shock across your temporal lobe. to confirm that it's taking place.
Two shocks for yes, one shock for no.
Oh, that she does direction as well then, left and right.
Left and right, yes. There we go. Zap. Ow, ow. Oh, left. Okay.
And whilst most of these products are going to be obviously available to pre-order, the Echo Frames is going to be an invite only, so much the same way as they did it with the Echo Auto. You register and then you might get an invite.
Oh, right.
Likely to retail for $180 for the frames, just the frames. But I suppose you could have plain glass, and if you're not a spec wearer.
Deep Pan suggesting that with the oven, you get Alexa, order me a lonely meal for one. Oh, hang on, no, Stokes, cancel. Cancel. Alexa, cancel that order. The Echo Loop, then?
The Echo Loop. Essentially, it's a ring for your finger. So the Echo Loop, Alexa-enabled, links to your smartphone. It's got two tiny, teeny tiny, as it's described here, microphones and a button for activating this wearable device. So you basically have a ring on your finger, pairs to your phone, it'll vibrate to let you know when Alexa's listening, or if you're getting a call or a notification, something like that. Another invite on a device. Ugh, I'm not convinced about that one at all.
The ring, that doesn't look like it'll even work.
No.
I mean, how do you charge that? How long does it last for? It doesn't look like it's got anywhere near enough battery to make it for an hour.
Very little information to follow the rest of it up. But I can see this being some sort of induction charging every single day type scenario, because the battery is going to have to be tiny.
Okay. Are we doing another show after this where we actually analyse all of these?
Amazon Flex, it's a really tiny speaker, just plugs straight into the wall outlet. Basically, just rather than having various dots around your house, you can just plug this into an outlet and give the lady a shout as you're moving around your home.
Cool.
Quite like the idea of them, and they're cheap. This is the one that probably stands out most for me. It's the Echo Buds.
Yep.
So these are earbuds, $130. They're linked in with Bose in terms of the active noise reduction technology used on these.
Oh, that'll be good then.
Yeah, I think these will be good quality. And I think at $130, they're a cracking price point to compete with the AirPods. And if they're as good as something like the Jaybird Vistas in terms of earbuds, but they've got the smart technology in them, these would be a cracking pair.
Well, the thing is as well, you've got these presumably you've got the A-Lady functionality in them as well, linked through to your phone. So then they're doing the same thing as the frames are suggesting there, which is well over and above what you've got with Apple.
Yes.
Well, how is it different to having Siri in your ear?
Because I don't have anything through HomeKit. I'm A-Lady through and through, and I've got no way of connecting to that. What I'm saying is the proportion of the market which will be HomeKit enabled, which can use Siri to do their stuff, which is fine, but there's going to be another proportion of the market which is OK Google or Echo oriented, who haven't got that ability. They've got to download an app like Reverb and physically press to get it to do anything, and this will be a killer for that. I would love these over and above my existing iPods.
Okay, so I thought you were saying that this was a feature that AirPods don't have, but it's just that depending on the rest of your ecosystem, it may not match up.
I think that's where you get most value. If you're more in the Amazon ecosystem than the Apple in terms of things like your home devices, I think you'll get more on the move functionality from these.
If you're in this ecosystem, this is a better product for you, but it's not a better product than the AirPods. They do the same thing, just in different ecosystems.
Well, they're better products on the basis they do the same thing as the AirPods and they work in an ecosystem that I'm part of, yeah.
No, they're better for you. You're leaving out that... No. You made it sound like an absolute statement that these did something that AirPods don't, and I was like, I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, they do. AirPods don't talk to Echo or Google. That's my point, is the fact that I'm not saying that I'm trying to
be sensible.
No, you are. Don't say that. I'm not saying HomeKit's a bad thing. What I'm saying is it is an exclusive thing and it is a tight ship for people that use it. But most of the other people that are out there are not using HomeKit. They're using Echo and they're using OK Google, and they have no way of automatically controlling those via voice command via an iPhone. That's right, where it kicks in.
The earbuds are less good because you can't control home. Whatever ecosystem you're in is what's better for you. They provide the same functionality for the different ecosystem. So they're similar devices, cheaper price, different ecosystem.
Well, what they've done is they've changed the ecosystem of the iPhone by giving you a Bluetooth device that will interact with A-Lady, which you cannot do with the AirPods. I see totally that this is an expansion of the market opportunity.
Yeah, but you're not going to have the smart that's not pairing true. Stuff, so it swings like around a bit.
You can control like Alexa and other devices, other apps using Siri.
But is
like it's not a direct, you can't directly talk to them, but you can go to the apps basically and do whatever you want.
So I can get Siri to open the app and talk to it?
Because I don't have Amazon devices, I don't know how far it goes. So, but like, I mean, you can like, if Amazon implemented that, they can literally have you control. You simply say whatever. Hey Siri, do whatever in the Alexa app. And then it would do whatever you want.
I'm glad to be stand corrected here, but as far as I'm aware, there is no way of me voice commanding Echoes to do anything within...
Well, if the Siri app on iOS supports shortcuts, then you can set up mm-hmm. whatever shortcuts you want and control them through your headphones. But I don't have any, so this is a bit of if rather than can't say for sure.
I think the other thing for me is I think these are better looking than the AirPods.
They do look good.
Usually, it's in the eye of the beholder.
Well, okay, but we get that you love them, mate. But we're saying there's an alternative. Deep Pan, this hardware makes the Amazon ecosystem far more sticky, and I agree totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what they're trying to build here. Look, this whole range of products is about building a
expansion,
really wide ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those look more like the, Beats One, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
The new.
It doesn't look like they've got the ear loops, though, unless those are an additional add-on for stability. Because the only thing I would say with that style as it's got there, unless they are a really snug fit in your ear hole, they're probably coming out if you're running.
I think they do have an look at the top of that U, and if you have to zoom right in. I'm going to do some digging on these because I'm thinking about trying a pair. They do look very much like the Jaybird Vistas in terms of the external design of them.
Yeah, see, I don't think that'd stay in my ear because I've got quite large holes.
Right.
Am I the only one thinking Lieutenant Uhura?
Very much so. It doesn't stick out quite so far, I don't think, mate.
No.
Yeah.
That was a 1960s AirPod. Next then?
Really quickly, so the Amazon Eero. So since Amazon bought Eero earlier this year, according to this article, I thought it was longer than that. So it's a mesh technology for your Wi-Fi. So they've launched their own product. The Amazon Eero is out. 3-pack, $250.
That's just expanding an AP, really, for the rest of the house.
Yeah, but obviously it's a mesh network.
Yeah, so it'd be low data quantities, though, won't it, at mesh?
Yes, it is low frequency.
You're not going to be dual-band. You're not going to be streaming movies through this.
You should be able to with the modern mesh stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing that all the time.
Yeah.
All right.
This doesn't have a speaker or anything though. This is just
purely an access point or a series of access points. $100 for one, three for $250.
And in their existing range that they didn't announce this week, do they have a combined speaker plus Eero? Because that seems like an obvious product to make, doesn't it?
I don't think they do. No, I don't even think the Fire TV box does that, does it?
You'd put the Eero technology in the existing Echo, surely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
That'd obfuscate this as a device entirely.
This does not at the minute.
If you own an Echo,
2020 we should expect to see in
this will be integrated. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Totally. Counting down the ring.
The next one's the Ring Fetch. Essentially, it's a keyring, which can give you alerts if whatever is attached to leaves a particular, say, geographical area. So one of the use cases they've attached to this one is, pop it on the collar of your dog, and if the dog goes out of a certain area, it's essentially like a small tracker, isn't it?
Pet tracker, basically.
Yeah. And a bit of a location tracker.
And that's it.
Put it in your handbag. And that's everything that Gizmo have reported on.
Didn't he do well? Well done, Camps. That was impressive.
Impressive. I can read a bad website.
I think so, there's probably four devices there where you go, right, that's really cool. And then the rest is just, what's the point?
Yep.
As always.
Yeah, for me, liking the new Echo Dot, would quite like to listen to the Echo Studio at that price point, see what that sounds like.
Yeah.
Echo Glow for me, as having two young kids, but appreciate that's probably a limited, it's a parents, young kids type market for that. Not interested in indoor cams at all. And I'm very interested in the buds.
So I like the Smart Oven idea, but I want to know more because, I mean, we did, we set up the, when I had the old Belkin stuff, which was a bit crap, actually, I have to say, compared to the TP-Link stuff. We went away for the weekend and we set up a slow cooker and put in a frozen leg of lamb on the Saturday morning when we left. And then we just figured it's going to defrost during the course of the day. And then we woke up on Sunday morning and remotely switched on the slow cooker and came back to a piping hot slow cooked meal in the evening.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Red wine, lamb leg, that kind of stuff. And it was falling off the bone. It was beautiful. So that worked really well. Now, if this thing's going to do that for me, I'm a lot more interested.
Yeah.
But if it's just a case of, you know, you throw your scrambled eggs in and say, hey, lady, make me perfect scrambled eggs, then I don't really get the point of it. If you've got to stand there and punch the buttons, you might as well just stand there and punch the buttons. You know, it's
too small looking to do, you know, to sort of to be, because it mentions air fryer, but what sort of kind of does, what's an over fryer warmer? Does that even mean?
I would say that's air frying, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's very small. Like, what are you supposed to do with it? Like, it's certainly not a slow cooker. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's maybe going to feed one at a time.
I guess.
Wouldn't be able to feed a whole family, I don't think. You'd have to take turns and wait until
it's exactly
ready.
Exactly it, Howard. It's snacking, isn't it? And yeah. Snacking, you just peel the top off and do it and be done with it. Sticking a pot noodle in there or whatever. Deep Pan saying, Eero won't need a mic or speaker. All your data will be passed through it anyway. Yeah. That's true. Good point.
True. Well, most of it is encrypted, though.
Now, update. If you remember last week, Jeff recommended the Amazon buttons.
Yeah.
So, problem I've had with it. So, the all lights on, all lights off command that Camps mentioned and said, oh, that'd be really good for that. I couldn't make it work because you can't make it latch. So you set up a command where you say, right, if the button's pushed, do all lights on, but it doesn't recognize that all lights are on. So if you do it again, all lights should go off. And I couldn't get it to switch off and switch on. And then periodically it got to the stage where one of the lights was on in the hall. And when I pushed it, all the lights would come on down here. Because I could see it on the Casa app, and the one in the hall would go off, and it'd do the opposite. And I'm like, oh, no, all lights on, is all of them on. I couldn't get it to work. I couldn't get it to do on, off, on, off, on, off. And then I realized I didn't have to. All I had to do was get it to play a message through all of the speakers. So now if Mum and Dad press it, every single Echo that I've got just says, Mum and Dad are in trouble. Mum and Dad are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep pressing it until someone calls. So you can set that up. You can set in custom messages and that kind of thing with them. And they've got them. They're quite big buttons, but they need a pouch to carry them around. Mom had it in her pocket for a while when I sat there, and she leaned over to pick up the telephone. Mom and Dad are in trouble. No, you're not. You can reach your mom. So there was limits to it, but those buttons are brilliant. They are really good. They feel really cool. They're really well made, and you can get them to go different colors. You can play them games. So if you've got the Echo Show, then you can have that asking you questions and people can buzz in on those and you set them up. I just wish I could figure out how to do an on-off switch with it, but I just couldn't make it work. Could not make it work. Unless someone's done that, tells me how, I couldn't get it to do it. It would switch it on and then that was it. And you could do it like be on, and then you can have a chain of events where it says, right, wait 10 seconds and then go off. And it did that, but it didn't do it on every single one of them. It did it on a few of them and then not on others. It was really patchy, really glitchy, if you like. So I don't know whether I just, do you think they've overreached there with that? Trying to do too much at too big a hit, you know, rather than...
It's like, I think it's just typical Amazon, isn't it?
Just go for it and not worry.
Something in every market.
Mm. You'd have seen that. But you could have trickled that out over two or three keynotes and had a bigger effect, perhaps.
I could have trickled it out over two or three weeks and it saved me finding a story every Friday afternoon.
Well, it's really hard for people to digest news when it comes at you in a fire hose like this. I mean,
yeah, no.
What are you supposed to take away from this?
Well, camp's just taken 35 minutes away from the show.
All the rest of us, there's no pressure on us having good stories now. We're sorted, so cheers. But I don't know, I just find that it's very anti... It's really the opposite of an Apple keynote, right? Where they have two or three things they want you to focus on and they don't want to distract you, so the week before they trickle out all the small stuff. This is just have everything, including some stuff that isn't real. It's just vaporware. It will distract you with that as well.
I don't think the Amazon this Amazon sort of keynote this week, I don't think it was streamed. It was a select bunch in a room and then it was live blogged out, and I can totally understand why.
Yeah, it's just sort of a dump to the media rather than an event, yeah. I guess.
Question from Deepan saying, do you think any of these Echo products sound promising for your parents? And actually, the thing with the glasses is the glasses would probably be a better bet than the buttons now, because they're on their face permanently. They could take them off at night and charge them on an induction charger, maybe, if that's the way it charges. And they've got the functionality in there. They could say, send a message to everywhere that we're in trouble or whatever.
Would your parents have phones with them all the time, though, to keep paired with the glasses?
Well, the glasses may run off. They may pair with your Wi-Fi. So if they're in the house, they run off the Wi-Fi. Who knows?
I think they'll pair with an Alexa app.
Yeah,
on your phone too.
Yeah,
I think pretty much all of these devices.
I think the thing with the Bluetooth stuff is it's got to pair with the phone because it's got to play your Apple Music and that kind of stuff. So it will pair with the phone as a Bluetooth device, but then the Alexa trigger will work, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it depends on whether or not it has Wi-Fi. Yeah, because if it has Wi-Fi in it, then in theory it could be like an Apple Watch where it is paired. But if your phone isn't around, it'll get on Wi-Fi by its lonesome. But I don't know if it doesn't. There's not very much to go on here.
Well, you'd also hope that in terms of the size and the number of radios that you'd need, there looked like there was enough space in both arms to do that. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we can fit it in a watch, you can definitely fit it in. Like, two arms is spacious compared to a watch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's... I think that's probably a doable thing. The cameras, maybe, if I wanted to get really kind of... spy on my parents and just have a camera up so I could just see in the lounge that they were okay or whatever. But I don't want to do that because it's like I switch it on in the afternoon just for the hell of it and they're both fast asleep and there's me fretting. And so.
In an alternative universe where I was into Amazon, into the whole ecosystem, I think the Flex and the alarm clock are the two that stand out to me as being nice products.
Hmm. I'm in the Amazon ecosystem and I love it, but I won't be buying the studio. I won't be buying the Dot. I've already got enough Echoes to last me. The show kind of makes me feel a little bit like I'm missing out, but I'm not that worried at the price point. Yeah, I've got a tablet. I don't think there's an awful. I'd like to see what the oven does. Because that really does seem to me like there could be something nice in that, if it does it. But if
so I found a bit more info on that, Ewan.
Oh, go on then.
So, like we said, it's a 4-in-1 microwave, adds convection cooking, air frying, food warming. It's got, it's sizable enough to cook a 5-pound chicken in there. Includes over 30 built-in preset commands that work with the A-Lady on an Echo device. So you can ask the A-Lady... To I don't know.
Defrost.
Defrost, cook something. There's also a probe in there so you can check food temperature whilst it's cooking to make sure it's cooked right through. There's a scan to cook feature so you can use the Alexa app on the or you can use the Echo Show to scan prepackaged food labels. I'm assuming that's barcodes and things like that, and it'll cook it as per the instructions.
Did you say 5 liters is the size?
No,
of
5 pound chicken.
Oh, 5 pound chicken. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
that's not tiny. That's good. That's all right.
And that's all the information I can find on these.
It is a meal for one, however. Yeah, no, there's nothing you've said there impresses me, so I think we'll pass on that. So we've just spent 30-40 minutes of the show talking about a group of products none of us are going to buy. Excellent.
Yep.
Very much. Our listeners might, though.
Well, yeah, that's right. I forgot about them.
And it's news whether it's good or not.
Yes.
Alexa, deploy the probe. Well done, Batwitch. Alexa, cancel. Jesus Christ.
Does she have a probe to deploy?
Well, I don't know, but I might be about to find out.
Back if I were you, Ian.
Yeah, I might be finding out.
We'll find out in a few minutes when we see you jump.
Will the Ring camera at my back door capture that? another story then. I've got to scroll all the way back up now. Someone put a story in there.
I'll jump in then.
I did.
Oh, you put a story on as well, Patrice. Right, okay. I found yours.
Yep.
And Bart. Okay, there we go. Sort it out amongst yourself who goes first. Oh, I don't put a bloody news story, an Apple news story in. God, they're pain in the arse.
No, I put another link in there, like for them with a non-Apple news link.
Excellent. Superb. Go on then, start us off.
Okay, so this story is about basically the American Department of the Interior moving from Google, like Google Apps, to Office 365. And I think that's a trend that I've been seeing, like not just in government like entities, but also like in the general industry, like any bigger company. Like I've seen a lot of companies going from like Google Apps, like Google Sheets and Google Docs and all of that, to Office 365 for like their email and like their collaborative tools. And I was just wondering what you guys, like, what's your experience? Have you used Office 365 in that way?
In work, we're Office 365. And for us, it came down to the fact that we asked the Google rep, can you keep our data within the EU? And he flat out said, no. Is that something you're planning to do? No. The Microsoft rep came in. Will you keep your data within the EU? Absolutely. Yes. Sold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and that's important. I mean, not for the U.S. Department of the Interior. I don't think they care.
Well, no, but they're going to have it say with our company, it would. For the same reason, just a different geography.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's also my experience with like working with Google and Microsoft. Google has been like a little bit challenging, and Microsoft was like, sure, where do we sign?
Yeah, I think Microsoft are getting quite aggressive in their pricing structure as well to really compete hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like my experience with their apps, like, I mean, I have an Office 365 subscription. Like,
sorry,
I have an Office 365 subscription, and like I've been using it, and it is actually getting very good. I mean, there was a time where Google Apps was the only way how you could do anything like Google Docs or Google Sheets, especially for free, but you couldn't even pay for anything that was worthwhile. And like Microsoft's apps and like the collaborative tools have gotten very, very good in my experience.
No, they're absolutely superb. Oh, my Tesco order is arriving. I'll be right back.
Live unboxing. Yeah, so it's a bit
going
of a
back,
trend,
isn't it? If it's all the government departments, they're going back to Microsoft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't help but think pricing. You know, we at the company that I work for, we're doing a lot of work with Microsoft at the moment, and I think they're chasing the business hard now compared to what they have been previously.
Do you think they're lying about the EU thing though? I don't think they actually control that. They'll route it through wherever the shortest route is, surely.
I wouldn't know where it's stored, which data centers are storing it in there.
As far as I know, I think it was Ireland where they have their data centers. Might be wrong about that.
Yeah, they certainly have data centers in Ireland, that's for definite. I think they can. I might be wrong on this. So they'll be there'll be people who understand the way that the Microsoft cloud and the Azure tenant and things like that works way better than I do. But I think as per the Azure tenant, you can define where that data is held. Mm-hmm. How it routes is a very different story, you and you're right. But I think it's where the data is held itself.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, and for Microsoft, it's a very clear thing. I mean, they have either existing relationships with, I mean, bigger companies and government entities in Europe that they want to keep, or they, like, ideally want to get more, like, get other more contracts. And that is, especially for GDPR, a big thing that like, data shouldn't leave the European Union or even, like, sometimes the country. Like, sometimes it's important that it's stored in the UK or stored in Germany.
German law's pretty tight on that, isn't it? That data has to be stored onshore in Germany.
Yeah, especially for medical data. That's where we're at. And Microsoft doesn't have any issues with that. They're like, well, we have a data center in Frankfurt. We don't care.
As long as they can prove that it's limited to that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, that's also part of your agreement with them. Like, they have to agree and prove and, like, show you that they're, tell you that they're doing it. And if they're not, then you can sue them. Like, it's a breach of contract.
Mm.
Yeah. I remember when I used to work with some of the local government and healthcare trusts, they used to have clauses in there about making sure that the data was kept, then you'd have to go and check that the data was actually...
Sure.
It'd have to provide evidence that, you know, it is kept, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
GDPR is an interesting thing as well with Brexit for us, whether we're, you know, what we're going to do, because there's an awful lot of European law that we'll probably still maintain and adopt, but I can't see any government agreeing to GDPR being kept, so we could end up being the wild west of phone calls over here again. Google won a case this week which could undermine GDPR, says Deep Pony. He's put a link in. If you want to know any of the links to the stories that we've got, then they're in the chat room, britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and navigate to the 27th of September, and you'll see all of the stories from the Mac show and from this one as well. So it's like a little show notes bit. Cool. Just spinning time out while Bart gets his shopping. I hope it didn't upset him earlier.
No, I don't hear.
I think
we'll have to debate.
Okay. So the move away from Google is not privacy-based fears. It is it is in the server location element, but it is just purely about the fact that there's guarantees being offered by Office and the aggressive pricing strategy. You think?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that also shows you something. Like, Microsoft has moved from a hardware and, like, operating system business, or, like, even tiny little bit of a software business with Office, to a service. Like, they're basically a service company now. They're offering Office 365 as a service. They're offering Azure as, like, data center services. They're offering a lot of services now.
Yeah. And let's be honest as well, as well as what we've just said to you and there in terms of where the data's held and price and things like that, 365 is a good product. It works. Mm-hmm. And I think people use it regularly. I certainly don't hear complaints about it.
Yeah, me too.
Has anyone bought the 365 package on OS X?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
How much was it?
No.
It's a subscription, so it was said $100 a year. I can't remember.
All right, so it's only $10 a month then for all apps.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. That's pretty good. I keep looking at it and I'm like, I keep getting messages that make me look like I've bought it, but then I haven't, because it won't let me write anything. So, and then I don't know whether I bought the individual package or the lot, so it's not done very well at all.
You'd have to have a dig into it, Ewan. I don't know the details offhand, but I don't know if Ellis has got a school email address, if he can get it through it from a student point of view.
Yeah, well, I'd have to buy it through
365.
I'd have to buy it through my iTunes, you know, my Apple account anyway, wouldn't I, to use it on my Mac? Because otherwise it'd be tied to iCloud, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
Can't see it. Only he would get it free. We had a good conversation this afternoon about Ellis having an iPad instead of a Chromebook, though, for school, which I think if they do the 299 packages here in the UK, that would be a good buy, really good buy. Good story. Bart, yours new exploit could lead to permanent jailbreak on iPhone 10 and older.
Yeah, this is huge. Like so this is a bug in the actual ROM on the basically iPhones pre-XS. So the 11 is fine, the XS is fine, but the iPhone X all the way back to the 4S. And because it's in the ROM, there's nothing Apple can do. This is it. These devices now have a known exploit that can be used to put any OS on those devices. So,
I mean, technically
it is USB physical access, thank goodness. But it means that if you're a dissident or something, you the secure boot process is now compromised. So you can't know your phone hasn't been tampered with. You can't know it's running a known safe version of iOS. And you can jailbreak. And if you're a security researcher, you can get unfettered access to the phone. So it is swings and roundabouts. But it's certainly, if I was a government employee or something, I would need an iPhone that was newer than this.
Well, I mean, to some extent, I've read that story, and like my understanding is Apple can patch it. I mean, someone could put in something that prevents Apple from patching this, which, I mean, especially if you like install your own version of the OS, is definitely possible. But I wouldn't say this is like you still have to get that exploit on device. I don't think it's something that you can exploit through a web browser or something.
Oh no, it's explicit. You can't. It is physical USB only.
Mm. Yeah. So, it is possible. I mean, honestly, has always been possible. Like anywhere where there is software, like on your computer, on your phone, like anywhere, anything that is software can be breached. Like it's just a matter of when, not if.
Right.
And Apple can patch that. Like it's
going on, but Apple have always been able to respond. This now, my understanding is that this boot ROM isn't flashable. This is a permanent entryway into devices of this vintage. So, I mean, the obvious advantage is jailbreaking. So this now makes it easy to jailbreak. But the disadvantage is, so let's say you're traveling to China or something. Security take your phone out of your possession for a minute and hand it back to you. You now have zero way of knowing what's going on because the secure boot isn't reliable anymore. That changes the game.
So you're saying that without your passcode, they can flash this so that they can gain access?
Yes, they can bypass the secure boot and they can put they can customize the OS on you, at which point it could do whatever they have written it to do.
Jesus.
So basically the secure boot it can be made not validate the signature. So that OS could be rooted.
Yeah, I mean, again, that was possible before. I mean, it's basically what all jailbreaks did. Like, they would get access to the system and override it. So
didn't survive a reboot. Like the last one, the big scary one that made all the news 2 or 3 weeks ago, that didn't survive a reboot. The Chinese government weren't able to get permanent. They had to keep re-exploiting and re-exploiting and re-exploiting because as soon as you rebooted, you were fixed.
True.
How many people reboot their phones, though?
They don't, which is why the Chinese government were probably fine with that, because, you know, as long as they kept on the Uyghur forums or whatever Uyghur websites they had exploited, they were doing quite well at it, by all accounts.
That's interesting. And well, I was going to say, well, what's the solution? But there is no solution then
You get an iPhone XS or an iPhone 11.
Yeah, okay. Talking about those people that don't know.
You're important enough to be coming to the attention of a government, then you do actually need to do these kind of things. You need to be that paranoid if you're important enough.
Right. My son has got an iPhone 7.
Or not have a phone at all.
My son has got an iPhone 7, and the Chinese government could have access to him blowing kisses to his girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no problem.
Serious, man.
For him, it's a jailbreak opportunity. For him, it's a boon. He can pirate some software if he likes.
Don't tell him that.
I'm sorry. Anyway. Don't listen to the bad man on the internet. He's telling you bad things.
It's kind of worrying. I'm not sure we're going to discuss any further on this one, but what's the desirable? Let's look at the positives of this. What's the positives of this?
Well, what cool software can we get on here? More research, so. Bugs that are remotely exploitable are more likely to be found because of this not remotely exploitable bug. So for you and I, this is probably a security boost.
Right.
Silver lining, that too?
Yeah, that'll do. Is there any cool, I'm only going back to CD or whatever it was. Is there any cool apps you can get via this now that, that really are must-haves on the iPhone if you've got a jailbroken iPhone? Because I don't know any. There used to be ones that were really good, like you could get Cowbell and that kind of thing, which are ubiquitous now. So, the, you know, is there anything that's a good app? Is it like Plex? Because Plex is mainstream as well. So there's nothing, is there?
Not that I'm aware
there's
of.
There's no advantage to jailbreaking.
Except if you don't want to pay for apps or games.
Yeah.
Which okay. I do.
Well, I've got to say, since I've been using Arcade, and I am muy impressed with it. And it's there's no ads or anything like that, and some cool games on there. I was well impressed, well happy.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to be a devotee for a while, I think. Yeah. And I picked one today. I might pick another one this afternoon or this evening. Howa, what's your story, Mrs.?
Start something lighthearted.
Oh, Boston Dynamics.
Can you hear me?
Hello, yes. We got you.
Yeah. So they've done some more work on their robots. And this particular one has got some really nice moves.
Oh, yes.
This so is Spot the Dog.
And it can do somersaults. No, not Spot the Dog. For some reason... is it going to Spot the Dog?
It's going to Spot the Dog story, the one that you posted. But it's got the it's got the parkour video on, hasn't it? Apologies. Yeah, further down. Oh, I'm playing it now.
Yeah, so that's the one. I think it's the first 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, it goes into a handstand, then does a forward roll, then goes into a complete forward roll, then turns around and does a flip, and then Chuck Berry move. And then this is the last, that last move there. I'm not sure I could do that. A complete 360 spin around a vertical axis. That's.
I can't.
Look at this. Look at this. Look, I could not do that. I'm sure. Not with that degree of accuracy anyway. That's actually really.
I'm just thinking where to next.
Well, the thing is, it's just. This is where I think Boston Dynamics have got a they've got a bit of an issue, haven't they? With because people do look at it and see malevolence in every video that Boston Dynamics puts out, and I totally get why they do that. No, they do, don't they?
But I guess they just feel scary because the robots being far too human.
Exactly,
they're in that uncanny valley, like good and proper.
And you just You know, the Spot the Dog here, you can now hire Spot the Dog from Boston Dynamics. You can get their attack dog that can carry an M16 for hire. That's going to really improve your kids' party, isn't it?
For hire, yeah.
I mean, that could be stories about rescuing
they've
people.
Got, they've got different...
Go on, Howa.
Rescue what, sorry?
No, I was just saying, like, if they wanted videos to make us feel good, they could be showing us.
Black Mirror.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. They could be spot on between the two of you. Bart saying what they should be doing is showing their robots rescuing people from under heavy logs and that kind of stuff when the tree's fallen on them or a collapse.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in an earthquake, you need something that's really capable to go in and around and under and through. I mean, these things are amazing.
Absolutely. But Howard's dead right. Yeah. All they're showing us is Black Mirror videos. It's the truth. Yeah. That's exactly
that's
it.
What, even in the article, they bring it up about the fact that it is just becoming like Black Mirror.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think in this, like Boston Dynamics, it's a case of like really smart people, like developer IT development type people, they're just proud of the progress they've made, and they don't think about like how it looks like from the outside. It's just like they're proud of their technology. They're proud of their
absolutely. It's totally an Oppenheimer syndrome, isn't it? Look, I've got the thing to have a nuclear chain reaction. How amazing is that? What a firework! Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, "Yeah, but that's going to kill billions of people." Well, that's not what I made it for.
Yeah.
Who are their customers, do we know? Like, are these military contractors?
DARPA.
Or,
Yeah, 100%.
DARPA are getting all of the funding.
DARPA and construction. I think they also have a few.
Well, they've been trying to show it doing
companies that they work with.
Go on, Dara. That was frozen.
It does make you think, though. How much further are they going to go?
As far as they can. I don't think there's a remit on them. Yeah. I don't think there's an upper limit, is there?
No. And I mean, one thing where we will need that capability is if we go to other planets, like seriously go to other planets, because we can't go everywhere, but we can definitely send robots anywhere.
So let's look at the kind of egalitarian view of this. We're going to get a robot. It's going to have a nuclear cell power in the back of it. It's going to get pushed into a spacecraft, and it's going to be the first bipedal inhabitant of Mars or Triton.
Or like even outside of our solar system. I mean, the next, like if we can manage, we could send something like 5, 6, 7 years to another system. Well, probably more than that, like more like 10 years probably. But we could do that.
Oh, you mean as in the travel?
We don't have to care.
Are we saying you can get the travel time down to 10 years? Not that we'll be able to do it within 10 years.
The travel time is one thing. We could probably like speed up more and stuff like that the human body simply couldn't sustain, but the robot can. But it's also like, I mean, if you send someone to another like solar system, you have an issue. Like, I mean, you're sending people on a like multi, like 10, 20 year journey. Like, what are they going to do those like times? And you need food and all of that. Robots don't need that. Like, you can put the robot in like a spacecraft, set it let's say 20 years. And when it's there, it can do like exploration and send back data.
Yeah, which is going to take another 20 years to get back. Minimum.
At least 4. Like usually light speed, so at least 4 years.
But the problem is
we can't do that with human beings, because then like what's going to happen to them?
Yeah, but the trouble with that is, and this is where I think you've got to remember us, and Bart's going to correct me in a second, I'm sure. So I'm bracing myself for it. The thing is, if you're sending data back from, say, Proxima Centauri back to Earth, you've got to send the data to where it's going to be in 4 years' time.
No.
Yeah. You've got to pass through the signal. You've got to pass through the signal.
Right, but the signal radiates out as a sphere. That's why it falls off as Azure cubed.
Yeah, so it's inverse square law applies, but it doesn't...
Well, inverse cube law, but...
Well, no, because you're going to have
to... radiating in all directions, like...
So how are you going to get enough power to go that distance? Surely you'd have to focus the signal somehow to get more...
Well, you could focus it on the width of our solar system, and that would still be massive focusing compared to broadcasting everywhere. Yeah. So I would, of all the things to worry about, that's probably low on the list.
No,
what?
That's a math problem. Like we know the movement of like planets and ourselves in the solar system and everything. It's a math problem to figure out. Okay, where are we going to be in like say 4 years?
Yeah.
That is doable.
But we're all falling round each other, round a galaxy, aren't we? So it's not.
Yeah.
We don't all point in the same direction all of the time. You can say right. Well, we receive. There's pulsars that are 100 million years away and we're receiving their signal, but that's because we're receiving it, not because it's sending it to us.
Right, but that stuff, like unless you go out of your way to focus radio beams, that's what's happening. You're just broadcasting. Like they go in all directions by default.
No, I know. I get that.
Yeah. It's not any different than sending something from Mars to Earth, to be honest. Like... Mars is moving relative to the sun, relative to us, like everything, basically everything is moving and we can do that. So I don't think it's not impossible.
In my head, I'm well aware I'm going to be corrected again by Bart, but in my head, I just don't think you can send signals that distance without focusing it in a direction and getting a much more laser-like, if you like.
Okay, but even if you focus it down to 1 degree, say, which is... heavily focused compared to 360 degrees.
Yeah,
1 degree at that distance is a few solar systems wide. So aiming isn't going to be an issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I told you I'd stand corrected again.
Yeah. I mean, bandwidth is definitely going to be an issue. Like, I mean, we see it with the Voyager spacecraft.
Probes.
Like they're sending back data, but it's like, I mean, also because they're old, but it's very little that they can actually send.
Well, how long did it take the Pluto flyby to finish transmitting its data? Because, it never went into orbit of Pluto. It just flew by, and it took, 6 months, 9 months to send us back all the data?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. But as I said, like that, if we want to go to another solar system, to planets that are out there, even Pluto, I don't think we have another choice than like sending robots. And those robots have to be like self-sustaining and autonomous, because we can't control them on that distance. I mean, it's impossible.
I think the other thing as well with the Boston Dynamics stuff, which is kind of salient, which doesn't come through on the videos, is the fact that there's no way that robot did that for more than half an hour tops.
If even,
yeah. The video had multiple cuts in it. It probably did one motion and that was it. The battery was sat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So but I think
if you put a small little nuclear powered reactor on them, like we use on spacecraft, the purely heat based ones, then you could have one of these scary robots anthropomorphizing all over the place.
And a Red Planet as well. That's the other one that's got a scary robot in it. Boston Dynamics robot in it. Yeah.
Or there are a lot of movies.
Is it a Netflix one? The remake of Danger, Danger, Will Robinson. That had a scary robot as well.
Lost in Space.
Lost in Space. Thank you.
I thought they'd get to season two of that, but it doesn't look like they have.
Okay. I'm still waiting on The Crown.
Nope.
Hurry up.
I'm sick of it.
One and done. Yeah.
We're heading to Terminator region.
We are. Yeah.
True.
I'm not sure. Well, yeah, we could be up to the dumb robot in RoboCop, at least, though.
Yes.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Hosts. Thank you very much for their support and sponsorship. We love them to bits. As I say, we've got loads of things coming up with them that's going to be really, really cool. One of the things that you should look at if you've got any kind of cloud aspirations or data storage aspirations or functional aspirations for your own website or e-marketing or sales, that kind of stuff, is think about their virtual private servers. They start at £40 and go up to £206, I think. And they've got some really, really good choices for you. Basically, they'll manage the system for you. They'll make sure that everything runs tickety-boo and keeps it running. And all you've got to do is put your content up there and let it whir away. Some great price plans available. As I say, start at £40, £39.99, and go all the way up to £209 a month for an absolutely massive powerhouse VPS. Loads and loads of stuff there. Don't forget as well, because that's hosting, you're going to get BTN20 as an offer code, and you should get 20% off your basket. So give that a go. If you need any kind of personal servers, then check out TSO Hosts. And please don't forget to say thanks, TSO Hosts, for supporting that British Tech Out on Twitter, because that makes a massive difference to them. It's brand recognition for them, and it's great publicity for us. And they've been really kind of late, and it's going to get even better. So just stick around and wait for it. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Camps. You're on mute, mate, I think.
Sorry. I'm going to bob that in there. So massively helped me tonight. I'm absolutely loving iPadOS. So Apple dropped it beginning of the... end of last week, wasn't it? iPadOS came out.
Yep.
Using it loads. I'm thinking that I'm liking the new gestures, the slide overs. Tonight just made it a little bit easier, just because of how I'm set up for this. Using a mouse on an iPad has really helped. It's slick. I'm really enjoying using it.
I've not really got into the chat room for the
Apple link to the Apple site for the preview.
No, I've not really got into it yet. I need to have a play with it. But the idea of using a mouse on an iPad, that just kind of floors me. I don't know how I'd react to that.
The multitasking is really nice, actually. That's what I've been enjoying the most since upgrading earlier in the week.
Right. No, that's good.
Yeah. Give it a go, have a play. Just cool little gestures like Apple Pencil, bottom left corner, flip it up. Swipe it with the Apple Pencil into the middle of the screen from the bottom left. It takes a screenshot and puts it into immediate edit mode, so you can start drawing on the image. Just clever little stuff cool. That just make productivity quick.
Brilliant. I like that.
Very cool.
I like that a lot. Good stuff. Howard, what have you got for us? Hello? You've not had the best of connections tonight.
I'm supposed to put it in.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't know what's happening. I need to sort stuff out. Yeah, it's the Mozilla Voice project. So the Lend Your Voice, because they're trying to build their own voice recognition.
All right.
And so they're asking people to just talk here. So trying to get different accents, different ways of people speaking, and add it, because at the moment all the voice theory and Google and the A, it's quite limited with the range of what they've got. So there's one that they're hoping to make open source that everyone can just tap into and use for their projects.
At the tone, tell us your password.
If you want to learn your voice.
At the tone, really tell us your mother's maiden name.
The world needs a good open source, someone to do this kind of stuff without a vested interest. That's great.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, text-to-speech has got a lot better quite rapidly. I remember when I first had a go at Dragon Naturally Speaking and that kind of stuff, it was really pretty crap.
Do you remember the Microsoft demo where they tried to do one live on stage and it said, kill mother instead of dear auntie?
No, I don't remember that. I would have if I'd known it.
That was hilarious. And the guy just kept trying to go on and the audience kept laughing more. And the more the audience laughed, the worse the speech recognition got.
Yeah, no. You used to have really, really quiet environments as well, didn't you? If you had a little blip in the background or someone banging, it was off. You know, full stops everywhere. That's kind of cool. Yeah, but like you say, it's about a vested interest, isn't it? It's someone doing something that's egalitarian for the good of mankind. Maybe they're going to synthesize some speech into Spot the Dog, so when you're here, boy, you can bark. Take me to your leader. Good pick. Thank you very much. Bart, what's your cool thing for us?
So I have for many, many, many years been an extremely happy user of the Trex Titanium bone conduction headphones for when I'm out cycling so I don't get killed, because they let me listen to podcasts while still hearing everything around me. And so this pair has been on my head for 4 hours a day, every day for 3 years, and they finally died. Which is really good timing, because Trex just brought out a new product. So they're replacing the titaniums with something called Aftershock's AeroPex. And they are basically exactly the same features, only everything is better. So they weigh a third less. The sound quality is way better. They're now Bluetooth 5, but they have every single feature the old one had, and they have, as I say, better quality, and they have 2 hours extra battery life.
Oh, good.
They are so light, they are so small, I barely feel them on my head anymore. It is just amazing how much bone conduction has improved. My first bone conduction headphones were Damson headphones, and they had like this, you know, inch-thick battery pack around the back of your neck. And to me, the Trex Titaniums were magic, but these are as big of a step again in just being so light, so portable, such good quality sound, and those extra 2 hours of battery life are just a wonderful addition. So I absolutely am in love with the AeroPex from Aftershocks. It's such a good upgrade. That company just keeps on incrementally improving their product, and it's great to see.
Excellent. Good one.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I've got the Trex Airs here, wearing for running. Love them. And I had the Titaniums as well. Fab products, and a great company.
Good pick, mate. Like those. £159 if you want them, which is not a bad price, really, for a really good quality set of Bluetooth.
It's not, and they have a 2-year warranty. And from my experience with this company, A, they'll stand over the warranty, and B, you're unlikely to need it, because these are really well engineered.
Excellent. Yeah, no, good pick. Like those. Patrice, what do you have for us, mate? Anything? Or are you, because I know you were scrabbling around earlier on.
No, I got something. I'm going to pick I should have put that in the chat room. I'm going to pick a TV show. I don't know how the availability outside of the US is right now. It just came out, at least over here, like a month ago, I want to say. It's The First Wives Club. There was a movie in the 90s, I want to say, like 1990, like mid-90s, 1995, 1996.
Yeah. Cast of Steel Magnolias.
This is the TV adaptation. Yeah, so this is the TV adaptation. It's three really great black actresses. I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. It is a really great story. I mean, here and there, I'm like, not really realistic, but it's not supposed to be. But it's about like three women, how they deal with their husbands and like their lives. And it's just a great story. And like they made a really good TV show out of it. The movie was, it was okay, I want to say. It wasn't the best movie of all times.
Yeah, the movie was a bit twee.
Yeah, but the TV show is really great. Like they had so many like good moments and so many like nice stories in there. And it's like, also the actresses are like, or the characters that are very different. Like they're best friends, but they're very different from different backgrounds. And they've been friends all their lives, but they're like, everybody brings something to the table and they really enjoyed it. And I think it's on IMDb right now and has 8.5 stars. So I think that's a good review. So it's called The First Wives Club, if you want to look it up, and I'll put the link in the chat.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. My cool thing is an anti-golf game.
What do you mean anti-golf? The ball flies onto your club? What?
It's an anti-golf game. This game was made for people who hate golf, unquote, the developers.
Okay,
so
I'm listening.
It's available through iTunes Arcade, and it is a game that is... everything but using a golf ball and a golf club, but it looks like a golf game. So effectively what happens is you stand on the first tee and the tutorial, and you got a little ball and you roll it towards the hole, and you have to get it in the hole, get it to hit the flagstick. And then the next shot you see is a lad holding a club and the ball's in front of him, and you pull the power back to try and get it to go towards the hole. And when you let go, instead of the ball moving, the lad flies. So you got to chuck.
That's funny.
So you got to chuck. You got to chuck the bloke into the flag, and then the next thing that comes up is an office chair. So when you pull back and let go, the office chair skates on its wheels, and all of this is done on a mountaintop, like a flat tabletop mountain. So you can go off the edge of the mountain if you get your power wrong, and so you have to get the office chair to hit the the thing, and then you go into like a lab. Where after you've done the introduction and you go round the lab, in which is a maze, then picking out holes to play and to open doors so that you can go into other areas. There's one with a barrel of gunpowder, and the gunpowder's a light, so you have to chase the barrel of gunpowder up towards the hole and get it in the hole before the gunpowder trail catches up and blows you up. There's one where a sheep rolls around, and if the barrel of gunpowder touches the sheep, it explodes and you're out. There's one with a sticky ball, so you fire it into the ceiling and then it swings around and then you fire it to the next bit. It's just everything, absolutely anything to do with it. You play it like it's a game of golf, but there's no golf ball and no clubs you do use clubs, but you throw the clubs at the stick. It's inane and it's brilliant, and I've loved every minute of playing it. It's superb. What the Golf on Apple iTunes Arcade. And it's free, providing you're paying $4.99 a month.
Oh.
There we go. Where can we get a hold of you then, Camps?
You can get me at Camping UK on Twitter. I'm pretty active on Instagram for my running stuff. That's Just Run Chris. And you get me in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate. Howard, where will you be apart from fixing your internet connection?
I will be on Twitter at Harry A and in the Slack room, and trying to sort out my internet. I have no idea what's going on today, but might be a change of providers coming.
Good, always like that. Threats work. Mr. Shopping himself, Bart Bushart, where are you, buddy?
You'll find me and everything I do at bartb.ie or belgianirish.com, which redirects there.
Yes, good on you. And last but by no means least, Patrice, in America for a little while yet, but then coming back to Austria, where would you be?
Well, every week on BTN on the Mac show, every now and then on the Big Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
A comment here from Deep Pan, have I played it on the Apple TV? No, I haven't played any games on the Apple TV yet. I've only done arcade today, so I signed up for it this morning and played it on the iPhone. Manage your ranking. Give me at ranking on Twitter. You can follow my Instagram account on 12 Space Media. We'll be back again next week for two more shows. Now you'd be sorry. And also, we got a nice bit of recognition today because we went looking for, because we used to be in the tech news category and tech news disappeared. And I found out today it didn't disappear. It went into news. So it's not in tech anymore. It's in news. So it's a subcategory of news. So I went in there and had a look, and there we are, proud as punch in there. And we looked at the categories, and it said these are the top 40 all-time best-selling tech podcasts. And we were in there.
Nice.
Two of them.
Four.
Us and the Big Show. Mm. Superb. So don't forget to say thanks to TSO hosts, and we'll be back again next week as normal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.